No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
How we doing? Am I right?
It's all good in the hood, man. Seeing my dude, look at him, man. Got him a fresh cut. Look at you, man. You know, you like the Mercado. You know what I'm saying? Every type of meat, every type of cut. You got to go into the barber and say, what's up? We are brought to you by the Mercado. Certified Piedmontese, Special Grease, a butcher shop, 84th and High Block, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Cheney / Andre Matt, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. Me and my man, Austin Orman, bringing you old school to new school way. Got some things on the horizon. Austin, once again, we'll keep it in the back pocket, man. You know, brother's tired, though, but you know what? We always got to do what we got to do. But, you know, we'll do some NFL news, and then obviously I think Nebraska, you know, we'll dive in the second segment. Or actually, you know what? We're in Husker Nation. Let's do the big segment and give our overall grade from the little that we know, or the lot or a little that we know on Nebraska's June. And, you know, I guess I'll go first. I think, you know, I didn't realize how important June was until, you know, like I guess it's kind of, I never, you know, really paid much attention, but, you know, that's where you got to make a lot of headway. And so with the, you know, the two different signing periods, transfer portal having different periods, and obviously some schools and college are on, you know, quarter semesters and all that, and you know, different times to be able to transfer, you know, post-grad and all that. And then now you got high school kids and camp season. You know, they had, you know, a girls camp, then they had the youth camps, and then they have more of exclusive camps, and then they have post-grad camps where you're just there, you're just getting where you fit, and you're trying to level up. I think recruiting-wise, that you know, Nebraska has made some headway. They had the big 7-on-7 event, brought in the likes of Cam Newton, some highly touted athletes that, you know, played at different clubs throughout the nation. So you're doing a lot of you know, groundwork, you know, building relationships not only with the players but their mentors and coaches, and then I'm assuming some of their family members have came in along with them. And then everybody's like, well, we didn't sign or get 20 commits, so it wasn't good. But then and then, you know, we had our number one recruit or decommit, but then we got a couple linemen, specifically big fella out of Biloxi, Mississippi. You know, I like that just because I think of Biloxi, of when you watch those movies and they have those boats that go out there in the river and they got casinos on there. There's always something going on down there. But, you know, to spread your path or your recruiting, you know, prowess throughout the nation all the way down to Biloxi and nab somebody that was potentially, or everybody assumed he was going to go to Mississippi, probably was what I call the party starter. And then, you know, you were able to get some other big recruits throughout the week, and then I say, or out the month. And then I think the momentum is moving in Nebraska's way. And I got a sneaky feeling that they're going to get a couple more before the clock strikes, 12 and turns into the month of July.
I think you're right. I think there's some momentum for Nebraska for a commit potentially on Sunday with an offensive tackle, Quad Mpuma, who they've had on campus. At least one seemed like he had a pretty good visit with Nebraska, pretty good connection with Coach Rule. It's been a fantastic June for Nebraska when you look at what they've been able to do really just in the last 2 weeks. I mean, especially if you go back to the 10th of June, they get Rex Waterman in the class, one of those offensive linemen that you mentioned, interior guy out of Chandler, Arizona, similar area to where Ty Robinson came to Nebraska from, very similar area. So he's on the 10th. Then since then, you've had that Hayden Ainsworth guy about a week later from Biloxi, like you said. Luke Sorensen a couple days after that. And then the big day was on the 23rd. So back on Monday, Jamal Rule, the running back from Charlotte, and then Danny Odom in the fold as well. Defensive back, highly, highly sought after. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, Penn State among the schools that were pursuing him. So, yes, it's great that Nebraska has made that headway. The class had started out pretty slow. Only a couple of commits before. I mean, Jace Reynolds, the in-state linebacker, Dayton Raiola, obviously the quarterback position in September. And then the only other guy in the class then was Davion Bonwell-Witty out of South Dakota. Nebraska needed to get dudes in the class. And I think Nebraska didn't just get guys to fill spots. Nebraska got guys that you can see a role for at the next level in college. But I think Nebraska is closer to finish than it is started. And we talked with Brian Munson on Monday or Tuesday about this, and he said he thinks that this 2026 class, with the roster limits that are coming, Nebraska is probably going to be a 15 to 20 high school guy program, not a 25 to 30 high school guy program. Yeah. That's probably going to be the case outside of Nebraska for a bunch of schools as well. So I think that makes it more important in a couple ways. Number one, you really got to identify who it is that you like. You will be punished much more for missing on the top targets on your board, because they're probably going to be the top targets on a bunch of other people's boards as well. And then when you get those guys on campus, you probably need to have a higher hit rate out of those 15 to 20 guys. I mean, if you hit on 10 out of 25, that's 40%. That's not great, but okay. I mean, you just threw some darts. You had to fill out the bottom of the roster, so be it. But if you're only hitting on 6 out of 15 high school guys out of any given class, that's not going to be sustainable. That's not going to be enough. You got to get contributions, I think, moving forward from, 9, 10, maybe even 12 of the 15 guys in the high school class at some point in their college football career.
Yeah, I think, a good way to look at it, Austin, is if you had, let's just use the word, let's go 16, right? And I think you need to break them up in groups of four. And maybe your top group, like you said, needs to be 6. And so, now you got the other 10, and you can break that into three different like kind of categories. Okay, the 6 have to be like our no-brainers. The worst case scenario, they make noise the first, they redshirt, but they make noise in those four, redshirt games. But you're like, oh, that dude, he probably should have played. Maybe like a Riley Van Poppel this year, right? Like you wouldn't have batted an eye if he played all 12 games. So maybe that's your top 6. And then some real contributors will come out of that, right? So Ja'Cory Barney and all those guys, and Dylan Raiola and all that. So that's your 6. So now then you got 10. And the second tier of 10, or of the starting with the second tier of the 10, out of that 16, is you got anywhere from like, let's say 2 to 5 or 6 of guys that are right on the cusp, maybe need a full year to redshirt, play the 4 games, maybe contribute, a little bit more situationally in the next year. And then you have one guy in there that pops. So then that adds to your top 6 very quickly. And then after that, right, those are got to be your developmental guys, the guys that maybe play roles. And then when you need them, they're called upon. And then if they develop into something, 3 or 4 years down the road, and then you got to really do a really good job of, I think it also for recruiting is they need to have a different category, like post high school, you could look at 15 guys in this 2026 class, right? But then you've recruited, let's say, 100 other guys. Well, you're keeping your eye on however many you came in, you know, number two or three, maybe even four, you know, for the next year or two. And then you need to really boil, you know, throw them into the 26 class originally. So if you get a guy that you recruited in 2026 class and you get him in 27 and 28, it should add to it versus adding to the 28 class. You get what I'm saying? Because, and the reason why I say that is because Austin, you know, when everybody got mad at Colorado and what Deion's doing, Deion has been doing this 105 roster thing, you know, very, very small high school classes, more portal guys and turning them over since he's been there. Now he's had to based on he has to win quickly and he can't really develop because of the state of the program. And the reason why I say you got to look at it like that, because college football changed more to more of a Colorado model, especially when that 104 is locked in, not this grandfathered in. And I think the tagging guys as student athletes will go eventually wash away, you know, maybe in 3 or 4 years. And the reason why I think that post high school, you know, different like delegation of recruiting is because that's really going to be important for your program. Your high school kids are always going to be your high school kids. The special high school kids are going to be the ones that are going to be able to come in and, you know, make a name for themselves and be like, man, I see why he was a 4 or 5-star recruit, right? It's X, Y, and Z. But you also got to make sure you make hay on the post, I'll call it post high school transfer portal very quickly. Not the guys that are four in, you know, go play at Duke for 4 years and come. I'm talking about within that year or two, they come back, you know, and the reason why I think that's such an important category, because that gives you another glimpse into recruiting as well, because it's going to, nobody's going to college generally for 4 or 5 years anymore. Number one, kids aren't that invested emotionally and physically to be in one place because they don't have to, right? They've never had to. And then also, guess what the perception of a Jay Foreman that was here for 4 or 5 years? Oh, well, you really weren't that good. And, you know, we can always recruit over you. So then you kind of get pushed to the side or shunned. And so I think that's why that middle, you know, one, maybe three, if there's a kind of like a little bit of, you know, he gets hurt, those 1 to 3 years, you know, that you're is so important, because those are the guys you still can develop in your program. But those are the guys that you maybe lost out on.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
for whatever the circumstances are. And then as you level up with the in your program, and they have some hopefully good and bad experiences at wherever they're at, they come back and then they pay off, you know, two or three times tenfold after a year or two in college.
I like that breakdown. I think that's really informative and instructive. And that leaves me wondering, Jay, where in the future the next Carter Nelson will fall? It's easy to want to take a chance on Carter Nelson as number one, an in-state guy, a really good athlete. But, you know, coming from lower classes where he played in Ainsworth and a bit of a project, right? Still a track guy, got to grow into his body a little bit during his transition to Nebraska. I feel like tight end is one of those positions where you won't see a lot of quote unquote project guys or a lot of those upside swings, because there's going to be much more opportunity cost to take a guy like Carter Nelson that you hope is going to be good versus a guy that you think probably needs to be good or contribute, right? I think that as we move into this era with maybe, you know, less high school recruiting going on, you're going to see more flyers taken by programs, maybe more spots given to the super big athletic guy that you think can be your left tackle of the future for 3 years. Maybe a freak wide receiver with physical traits that doesn't know the game, but that's a game breaker, right? Maybe the running back with speed or the lengthy edge rusher. I think those are the guys that you're going to see more and more flyers get taken on in college, just like in the NFL, right? Yep. Kyle Pitts is kind of the outlier in the Carter Nelson-ish mold at tight end in the NFL. It worked in college. It hasn't in the NFL for Kyle Pitts, but that's where I wonder if a guy like Carter Nelson, under the new recruiting restrictions, the new roster limits being 105, maybe Nebraska goes and gets him anyways. But if it comes down to, do we take the next Carter Nelson, who we like as a football player, but we got to put a lot of work into at tight end? Or do we take, say, you know, the next Jacob Hood or Elijah that we can get our hands on? I think more programs are going to try to get the swing tackle that could make or break their season, that can develop into that cornerstone more than they will, you know, the center or the running back or the tight end.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, styles make, I always say styles make fights, but styles, you know, is where it also plays a factor in it, right? Because I think if you look at Carter Nelson, you know, as a project, just based on, you know, growing up playing eight man, that's an easy assessment to have. But I think there's not a tight end that comes in out of high school that could play down inline tight end and be effective blocker. Even some of the biggest guys have problems just because it's just, you know, you're going against grown men. You know, I think the biggest thing that you have to do is whether you're recruiting a Carter Nelson, a Jay Foreman, or Austin Orman out of the portal or whoever, is you got to have a plan within your system schematically, offense, defense, and special teams, or offense or defense and special teams, to get the most out of them. So the play, the you know, like I'll say this, when I came in as a rookie, you know, or even I'll say when I was here at Nebraska starting as a redshirt freshman, my playbook, I'll call it a go zone, was extremely small. Like my size, you get what I'm saying? Like the stuff I had to do, the things that they were able to call, the things that I was able to really, you know, do it effectively to be able to start as a redshirt freshman, right? And this is after a redshirt year, right? So this kind of goes with kind of Carter Nelson, even though his is, you know, by you know, a couple knickknack you know, injuries and stuff, but it's the same thing. He had the redshirt. Then as you move forward, you put a little bit more on your plate. That's when I talk about the recruits, right? That's the second and third tier with him. It's not an athletic ability thing with him because he's in the top tier there. It's more the development and skill set and then fitting into whatever offensive scheme, which it happens to be Nebraska, was changed, right? You went from Marcus Satterfield to Coach Dana. And so you got to make sure that you're doing that because you're going to, you know, you want to get the best out of them. And you're completely right. You could maybe get a more established player at the tight end position. And I think tight end is a hard position to evaluate, recruit, because you got a lot of former power forwards from high school and small forwards playing, you know, tight end, and the nuances of tight end. And I think people see Travis Kelce, right, coming as a quarterback, and he plays tight end. You know, Jason Kelce comes as a linebacker, go then it was just easy, right? And you think of some other guys that made the transition, Antonio Gates and all that. Well, I will tell you, people, not to break your hearts, those guys are Hall of Famers. Those are unicorns. Those do not come around every recruiting cycle. Matter of fact, they don't come around every 10 recruiting cycles. So you have to make sure that you dummy down the, you know, the expectations and then really, really heighten the evaluation and efficiency that you're able to go out and pluck them. And then you have to have combinations of both, right? You got to think of, you know, Bonner, right? Where he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He was a tight end, fullback, kind of. You can have a couple guys like that, because the reason why you want those guys, Austin, is because about three or four games out of the year, you want those guys matched up with the second level defenders. Now, whether it's inside linebackers that can't handle them, you know, in foot speed, or safety slash hybrids, or the defensive schematics of a 3-3-5 where they don't have the size to be able to handle them in the run game, or the nickels, right? So say like a Marcus Buford or anybody like that in a slot against a Carter Nelson, where you're able to really reset the edge, right? You talk about being physical. You want to be set the edge on off or on defense, where you also have to set the edge on offense, and you're able to do that. And that's probably been a staple, or at least it was a staple, I would say, of Marcus Satterfield or Matt Rhule when he was at Baylor, right? There was different ways that they were able to get physical. And Coach Dana said it right from the get-go, on the perimeter blocking is how you're not physical. I think people think confused physicality of like a fullback coming through there 40 times and just blowing a linebacker up.
That's not football.
That's like a once in a you gotta catch them slipping. I mean, or you just, you know, where you can overpower them like a Coy Schlesinger or something like that. I think physicality is to be able to continue to do the simple things over and over and over at a high rate of obviously speed, force, and power. And then you make the other team quit and you break them. And it's execution, it's technique, it's want to, it's all those things in it. And you can do that by essentially taking that edge from outside the tackle, and then you get out towards the hash and the numbers based on your play calling, but then also the size, speed, and force of your athletes.
And that's where I think the Dana Holgorsen effect comes into play as well, because he likes Lindenmeyer. Obviously, like you said, Nelson was dinged up toward the end of the year. Curious to see what Dana Holgorsen does with him. But if Nebraska can run and pass just as effectively out of 12 personnel, that goes a long way. Because the team will see 12 and say, okay, we got to go base. We got to go 4-3, but we got to get more linebackers in there. And then you can, you know, have Carter Nelson run around him. Or a team says, you know what, we're sticking in our base nickel, whatever that looks like for us. Nebraska can say, you know what, we trust Lindenmeyer to block. Carter Nelson's going to be more physical than that nickel that's going to be matched up on him, so we can take this opportunity to run the ball. So our versatility, you know, multiplicity, being able to have those multiple skills from the same players goes a long way, because you're right. We saw some of that shift in the NFL as well, right? A lot of cover two to prevent the explosive pass plays. So what did the NFL do? A little bit more 12 personnel, but really they ran the ball more effectively than ever, right? Out of a line where you had multiple receivers on the field who could block on the perimeter. You had a tight end who could both block and catch the ball, and good running backs to make guys miss. The NFL didn't all of a sudden go back to, you know, 21 with two backs and one of them being a fullback. It was a lot of 11, and teams just got so good at having their tight ends be able to hit a linebacker that they overpowered if it's a, you know, a side to side guy, not a downhill, you know, run stopping linebacker. They could get their tight ends to the second or third level to a safety, where you don't necessarily have to put bigger, beefier bodies on the field. You just got to commit to having your best guys step up, man up, and block the guy in front of them so you can still establish the run.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the teams I used to battle against is your, you know, Indianapolis Colts. Everybody always thought that they weren't, you know, at one point in time they were somewhat of a soft team, but I think that was more based on play calling. You don't have Edgerrin James, Dominic Rhodes, Joseph Adaiye, and all the guys that they've been able to bring in and rush for 1,000 yards in big time games against very, very physical teams like the Patriots and not be physical yourself. And the reason why I bring Indianapolis up when Peyton Manning was there, and obviously a little bit when Andrew Luck is there, is because the way that they went about being physical was my best friend, Marcus Pollard, out there in the slot. You had other guys that even Marvin Harrison Sr. would block, you know, he would position block. Right. He knew when they needed Reggie Wayne will get there. You know, Stokely would do a little something. And obviously Ken Dilger and all those other guys, along with the linemen and stuff, they weren't the Quentin Nelsons, but they were able to provide, you know, some physicality there really to keep you on, to keep them on schedule. And then obviously be very, very explosive. So however Nebraska adapts that moving forward is going to pay dividends. And back to recruiting, you have to recruit different body types and styles in order to keep defenses guessing, but then also provide some advantage, because there's going to be a time where you play against a team, you're not going to be able to line up, and you know, like Michigan last year, their defensive line was so good, you're not going to be able to blow those guys up, or the year before, you weren't going to be able to, you know, blow those guys over. So you have to find a different way to attack the defense to soften up the middle when you do need to run it. So that'll do it for the first segment. I wanted to jump into what it means to be a player-led team. So I think the first segment, or the first part of the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about that, because then I think it boils right over into Aaron Rodgers and his statement before he even played a game. He's seeing the end of the rainbow before he even got on it to get the, you know, he didn't even got the pot of gold yet. Being player-led team versus going to a team that, you know, professionally, Aaron Rodgers, an organization that historically has been a player-led team, even though they have an iconic coach in Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher. It's always been a player-led team. I'm Jay Foreman. That's Austin Norman. We're the old school, the new school way. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.